sound set.
Galaxy on cornerofthegalaxy.com. Welcome to Corner of the Galaxy on cornerofthegalaxy.com. I'm Josh Gessman, and on today's show, we're going to go over the 1-0 victory by the LA Galaxy in Houston over the Houston Dynamo, a result that maybe they didn't deserve. Maybe they did deserve. It may have been ugly to watch. It may have been very sweet salvation to actually get 3 points on the road again. And how does this set the LA Galaxy up for the playoffs? We're going to talk about all that and a lot more. You're listening to Corner of the Galaxy on cornerofthegalaxy.com, and it all starts right now. You're listening to Corner of the Galaxy on cornerofthegalaxy.com. Now here's your host, Josh Gessman.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Corner of the Galaxy on cornerofthegalaxy.com, a very special shortened edition of this particular show. Got a lot to go over in a very short amount of time, and in order to help me do that, because of my wacky, crazy schedule we unfortunately couldn't hook up with LA Galaxy insider Adam Serrano, so we got the absolute next best thing. Please welcome back to the show, good friend of mine, LA Times reporter, Mr. Kevin Baxter. Kevin, thanks for stopping by again. I appreciate it.
Next best thing? That's a straight red right there.
you're already off the show. That was it. It was 30 seconds in, we're out.
Now, speaking of straight red, you're getting married this weekend. That's another foul. I don't know, a penalty kick there.
You know, I thought it was pretty good that I'm getting married on Saturday and still plan on attending the Sunday LA Galaxy game whenever they take on FC Dallas for the last game of the season. I thought that was a pretty good. I thought if I got reduced to a yellow card instead of a red card.
Well, okay, I'm going to step in it. I'm going to get myself in all kinds of trouble again. We've talked about this before, but. At the risk of earning the ire of the Galaxy once again, I will say that your devotion to come to the game the day after getting married, it certainly steps a little bit further, a little bit in front of Steven Gerrard, who was actually on another continent as the team prepared for their last game in Houston. So
yes.
Kudos to you.
Yeah, yes. I was going to say, yeah, you are. You are going to step. But that's fine. That's fine. No, I was going to say I'm actually going to switch places with Stevie G because I'm headed over that direction on the Monday after the LA Galaxy take on FC Dallas. And he will be, I would imagine, here in Los Angeles. So at least that's my prediction so far. But let's talk about this game for the LA Galaxy, a 1-0 win over the Houston Dynamo. I quoted this in my story as at times unwatchable, but the result makes it sort of manageable. To sort of understand, because if you watched it on television, Kevin, there were some extreme shadows and extreme brightness in this game. And with Houston wearing their black kits, they absolutely disappeared at the bottom of my screen about 12 or 13 times. So that was sort of the unwatchable part. But again, the Galaxy get a win on the road when they really needed a win in order to clinch that home playoff spot. They got mission accomplished here.
Well, remember, they backed 2 weeks earlier, they backed into a playoff berth, so they needed to regain some momentum. The conditions were difficult. It was very hot there. The Galaxy, their flight was delayed out of LA, several times. I think they got to their hotel about 18 hours or so before kickoff, maybe even less than that.
Right.
So it was a very difficult trip from a lot of different reasons. And if you talk to any athlete, especially when it plays a long season like they do in MLS or in Major League Baseball, one of the things they will tell you is you're going to win games you're supposed to lose. You're going to lose games you're supposed to win. And, then there are another games that are a toss-up. This may very well have been a game the Galaxy should have lost, but they won that. And so what's going to happen now is this could be sort of something that springboards them into the playoffs, a little bit of momentum, feeling better about themselves. The fact that they were able to get 3 full points out of a game when maybe they didn't deserve any,
right?
That could be a really, really super positive thing. On the other hand, they did not play well. So they got a result, but they didn't correct their poor play. So, you know, it's up to the players now. Do they look at that and say, we escaped, now we need to step it up? You know, just a half-hearted effort's not going to get it done. Or are they going to look at it and say, hey, that was pretty good. Playing down to that level, we can still get 3 points. Why should we work any harder? I think the former is what they're going to do. They're going to be very self-critical and look at it and say, we need to get better. But the fact that they got 3 points out of it, I think they're going to feel really good about that.
Yeah, without Robbie Keane, who was out with a hip flexor injury, without Steven Gerrard, as we mentioned, with the hamstring injury, no Giassi Zardes, no Yellow Van Dam because of yellow card accumulation and suspensions there. Landon Donovan makes his first start for the LA Galaxy since his retirement, goes about 63 minutes, actually looked very good at times. And as we mentioned, the heat index was about 95 degrees in Houston at kickoff. It was not a good place for a 34-year-old semi-retired player to be making his first start. And he even said after the game that he almost died. He said it might be his last start because he almost died a couple times out there. And I think you could see that. But good news for the LA Galaxy. He got involved in the attack going forward, provided something perhaps they've been missing. What did you think of Landon Donovan's first start here for the LA Galaxy?
Well, I thought it was a good effort. I think the fact that he went that long is the positive thing to take out of it. People look at Landon Donovan, the greatest American player of all time, and that's not my opinion. That's backed up by the stats. Or I should say it's not simply my opinion. It's backed up by the stats. So one thing about him is people look at his track record and all the things that he's done and all the titles that he won, and they said, well, this guy dominates games. You know what? He doesn't. He's not a Lionel Messi. He's not a Cristiano Ronaldo. Landon is a guy who, in big moments, steps up. He may not notice him for 85 minutes, and in the last 5 minutes, he scores 2 goals. So to say Landon wasn't dominant for 60 minutes, you know, at his prime, he might not have been dominant for 60 minutes, but he will be effective when he needs to be. And so I think it was good that Landon was able to go that far in those conditions, because that means he can play more minutes in the future, and that will just give him more of an opportunity to change a game around. But, you know, again, putting a little bit of thin ice here, I'm going to say that in recent days, weeks, whatever, I've begun to sort of think that perhaps, you know, Landon talks about if I can come in and make a contribution and help, you know, turn one game around, that makes this whole experiment worth it. I'm beginning to think Landon's bigger contribution, I think, is coming in the dressing room. I think you and I have talked about how the dressing room appears to be fractured.
Right.
There doesn't appear to be a lot of togetherness. That's why they had a team dinner. That's why they had personal meetings during the two-week break. I don't know if leadership has not broken out or what the deal is there, but I do know that when Landon came back, he wasn't fit. Everyone said he wasn't fit. They hoped he could contribute. They were sort of nebulous about what that contribution might be. But Landon is a leader. He's been a captain for the national team and for the Galaxy. I'm wondering if his contribution isn't supposed to be, in addition to whatever he can give on the field, to maybe reunite that dressing room and get everyone on the same page.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that if you see that as something that's not happening, if you think Landon Donovan isn't making an impact in the locker room, then you don't quite understand, I think, what a player he was and what a leader he was for the LA Galaxy in that locker room before. So I think it would be reasonable to assume that Landon is going in there and becoming the leader that he was. Now, whether or not, and he even says it after the game, Kevin, which I think is interesting, he talks about, hey, you know, I wasn't here at the beginning of the year, but let me just tell you, in these last 2 weeks, the training has been, you know, really good. We felt really positive. Guys are looking at this and understanding, you know, what we need to do in order to advance. And in my cynical view of how he's talking, he's trying to fill that leadership void or whatever was there that wasn't working, because you hear him hinting at that constantly. Even just in congratulating Alan Gordon, he says, you know, Gordon was a real leader out there. He was a real battler. He's a real competitor. He was what a real captain should be. And that's, you know, more or less a quote. You can go back and look at the LA Galaxy post-game interview they did with him and sort of get that. But for me, he's the guy now who's pressing this team to be better, and I don't know if that was there from the players before he got there.
Well, here's another quote from Landon before the Houston game during training, and he said, we have a lot of talented good players, so we don't have issues there. We have issues with, do guys really want to do it and put in the work? We've had the last week to show guys that we do, and now we have to reward ourselves Sunday. He also said it was the best 3 or 4 days of training since he's been back. So he's talking about the best 3 or 4 days of training since he's been back. Well, there were two players who weren't there during those 3 or 4 days of training when things, in Landon's words, moved up to another level. And, you know, Robbie and Steven Gerrard were not on the field on training pitch during that time.
Right.
Did Landon intend to send that message? Did he realize he had sent that? Or was that really the message he wanted to put out there?
Yeah, or is that just us reading completely into it because, you know, we think that there's something there? I get it. I mean, you and I have talked for hours on end, Kevin, about all the different scenarios you could see for this team. And, you know, Landon Donovan coming back and putting in the performance he did. Alan Gordon giving you basically a 90-minute performance. The guys who are missing from this team on Sunday, whenever they beat the Houston Dynamo, I don't know that they were missed. And that's something that is difficult for me to say, knowing the history of Robbie Keane and what he has done to this team. But I can honestly say I think the team that they put out there on Sunday may be one of their stronger sides that they've showed this year. I thought Giovanni Dos Santos being the guy again, even with Landon Donovan out there, you knew that Donovan's playing more of a support role now for Giovanni Dos Santos. They got to play together. There was some link up there. I thought Dos Santos worked very hard in 95-degree heat. I thought that he was unlucky with some of his finishes, but you can see the confidence he has. He wants to take shots. For me, Giovanni Dos Santos is, if you can get him warm, if you can start getting him pointed in the right direction, and the Galaxy will have another chance to do that against Dallas on Sunday, if you can get him fired up for the playoffs, if you could have somebody like Dos Santos and Landon Donovan and Sebastian Legette, you know, and some of these guys that seem to be sort of warming up on this team, this isn't necessarily a one playoff game and done team that you saw maybe even 2 or 3 weeks ago, at least not in my mind. I see something a little different.
Well, let me say, and Robbie Keane is unlike Landon, perhaps, Robbie Keane is a guy I think who can dominate a game for long stretches. When Robbie Keane is right and motivated, and unfortunately that seems like it's an important word to include, when he's right and motivated, he's a fantastic player, and I don't think he's lost it all overnight. I think it's still there. You saw that goal that he scored for Ireland in his last national team game with them.
Right.
So the Galaxy still can be and should be a better team with Robbie Keane on the field. You know, Steven Gerrard, if you go back to just August, July and August, when he had 4 assists in 3 games,
right?
They are a better team with a motivated and healthy Steven Gerrard on the field. So, you know, I want to make sure people don't understand that I don't necessarily, I haven't given up on these guys. I don't think that they're pulling the team down. I think when they're right and when they're motivated, I think they changed the Galaxy greatly, and I think that was the team in July that did so well with those guys on the field. So if they're back and they can play, that just makes the Galaxy stronger in a number of ways. Because for one thing, it takes the you know, if they start, it takes the guys who are starters and puts them on the bench, and so now you have a guy that Bruce Arena says this guy can start for our team, but he's going to start on the bench. You just make your team deeper. I think these guys have a lot to contribute. But you're right. You know, when you talk about Alan Gordon being a leader, he really has stepped up lately. He's gotten an opportunity, and he's played well. If I'm Bruce Arena, this makes it a tough decision because this Dallas game is the last dress rehearsal before the playoffs.
Right.
This is going to be a weakened Dallas team that's coming in. I mean, granted, they lead the Supporter Shield standings, but they're probably not going to have Kellen Acosta. They're almost certainly not going to have Diaz,
right.
This is a weakened team. They're playing for something. Does Bruce Arena say, okay, I believe that we're a better team with Robbie and Steven on the field, that they deserve to be there, I'm going to put them out there? Or does he say, hey, let's try this one more time. Let's see if we can find a combination that works even better. It's going to be a really tough call. And, you know, maybe he does that. And I'm beginning to think this thing through myself. He only has three days, maybe 4 days at the most, between the last game and the start of the playoffs, and then he goes into the, you know, conference semifinals right a few days after that. Maybe it would be better to rest Steven and Robbie, make sure they're 100% healthy, rather than send them out there as a trial run and then have to bring them back 2 more times in the span of 8 days.
Well, no, I mean, that is the thing, because you look, October 26th or 27th is the next game for the LA Galaxy after the season finale. That is the play-in game. Don't know who their competition's going to be right now at Sporting Kansas City. That could all change. Now, the game means something to FC Dallas, who's fighting for the Supporters' Shield. Necessarily doesn't mean anything for the LA Galaxy. They will basically play, they've locked up that third spot, so they're not moving anywhere. So whether or not you rest people and how important Sunday becomes for the LA Galaxy is different than how important it is for FC Dallas. Quite honestly, knowing Bruce Arena the way that I think I do, Kevin, I wouldn't be surprised to see him rest starters so that way they are fresh for that Wednesday or Thursday game coming up immediately following it. So to me, it's not much of a question to think that Bruce Arena doesn't care that much about Sunday, except for the fact you'd still like the momentum and you've got a little chip on your shoulder against Dallas, who has done dirty things to you so far this year. So I can see that. I want to go back to the Houston game. AJ De La Garza got to start again. Daniel Starris played in the center. Again, Yella Van Dam suspended because of yellow card. The defense played very well on the night. Is this another case of Bruce Arena going to have to make a tough decision coming up in the playoffs and on Sunday whenever he looks at this back line and what they were able to do?
Well, Dallas, again, and I agree with you, all the things you said, although I do think momentum is important. The Galaxy mm-hmm. needs to start feeling good about themselves. And maybe you take care of that on the training pitch. Maybe training is so fantastic that the game day becomes a day off because you're just so wired and you're so, fired up and you really don't need to take that onto the field. You know you're going to have that in the first playoff game Wednesday or Thursday. But looking at Dallas, if Bruce really wants to give them a chance to win, I think you got to start, in my mind, I think you start Starris over AJ, even though AJ right now is the better player. And the reason I say that is Dallas has burned the Galaxy all season on set pieces.
Yes.
And Starris, I think, is better. He's certainly bigger. He's more physical, and I think he's a little better on the set pieces than AJ as a center back. That doesn't mean AJ can't play out on the wing. But
right.
I think you go with two big guys in the middle. That doesn't mean you use them in the playoff game. And, in fact, maybe giving AJ a rest, maybe that's the best way to do it. Use Starris because the matchup is better and then have AJ rested for the playoffs.
Yeah, I thought one of the key moments in this particular Houston game was whenever Mike McGee came on to replace Landon Donovan. McGee eventually took the shot that found Alan Gordon a birthday gift of a goal on his birthday. It doesn't get much, I don't know, better or worse, depending on, I guess, which side of that you're on. But Alan Gordon scoring. And then the LA Galaxy, Kevin, holding on down the stretch. Super important confidence-wise, and Landon Donovan mentioned it after the game. He said, you know, in past games or in previous games this year, we may have given up a goal late in that game on a set piece or on, you know, the constant pressure that the LA Galaxy invite once they tend to score late in the game and try to hold on. They didn't do that. Again, confidence boost. Brian Rowe not really tested all that much. You have to feel pretty good about the defense, even with Yella Van Dam not in there. And, you know, you're going to get Yella Van Dam back for the Dallas game. And when you do that, this defense, in my opinion, gets, you know, that much better. So defensively wise, I think people should feel pretty confident with the LA Galaxy right now.
Well, here's a couple things about that. Landon talked about how when you give up a goal, it's not the defense's part. There's a, you know, 11 people on the field and the whole team has to play defense. Mm-hmm. And that has been a problem. There are some players who don't track back on defense and don't play defense very well. And frankly, don't take much of an interest in it. That didn't seem to be the problem in this game. And it may have been the best team defense as far as tracking back and being aggressive. It may have been the best team defensive effort late in the game since the Portland game in July when the Galaxy were protecting the lead and they were just, all 11 guys in the field were just really working hard. The work rate was incredible and to preserve that win. So you're right, the defense was good. However, mm-hmm. Consider the opponent. I think Houston's been shut out 11 or 12 times this season. Not really dangerous all night. And so, yes, the Galaxy deserve a lot of credit. The fact is the team they played against didn't score. That's all you can do. You can't shut out Houston and say, well, we would have shut out Barcelona as well. You can only shut out the team you play, and they did that. However, the track record shows that Houston, a lot of teams have done that to Houston this year, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I would like to point out that if Houston would have been more competent on the fast break, they probably could have had three or four goals because they caught the LA Galaxy stretched. The one big issue that I still have is the center of the park, and ever since Nigel De Jong went away, the LA Galaxy have been a little toothless in there. Baju Husicic, for me, did an okay job. I actually like Jeff Laurentiewicz in the position of backstopping Sebastian Legette a little bit more. The problem is that it doesn't matter matter who you really put in that position between Legette, Husidic, or Lewentowicz. It's slow in the middle, Kevin, and you can see that. And if the Galaxy have to get people forward, like they got Emmanuel Boateng forward and like they got Landon Donovan forward on those outside wings, they're inviting teams to counter against them, and the better teams, the not Houston Dynamos of this league, should make the LA Galaxy pay for that. That's where I thought AJ De La Garza was particularly strong on the night. Daniel Starris got named to the MLS Team of the Week, which is great for him. I think that that's wonderful, except that I think AJ De La Garza probably had the better defensive night of those two. And it's the smarts of AJ De La Garza being in the right place at the right time and cutting off those angles on the fast break that really stymied Houston two or three times on the night. So I'm optimistic that the LA Galaxy defense played better in this game. But when you look at the center of the park, Kevin, still a bunch of huge question marks for me.
Well, as far as that goes, the Galaxy has been susceptible to breakaways all season. And perhaps the most telling recent example was the Seattle game where they got beaten twice. One of the times, Starris was beaten by Jordan Morris, right. And it was a really bad play, and it led to a goal. And, you know, FC Dallas, I was at the game in Dallas, and Dallas was very dangerous. They didn't get rewarded, but they were very dangerous on breakaways as well, counterattacks. The Galaxy have been really susceptible to that for a number of reasons. One is Van Dam, their best defender, really likes to push high. He likes to get involved in the offense. And yep. A lot of guys come across the midfield stripe, and they just, as you said, they don't have the speed to get back if the other team has a speedy forward. I will say this about Starris, though. I thought he played well against Houston. As you mentioned, he was on the all-week team. Huge props to him because he came out of the game right after he got beaten by Jordan Morris on that counterattack.
Right.
It was a bad play. There was no question that Bruce Arena was trying to teach him a lesson or to show him, look, if you don't perform, you're not going to play. Took him out, didn't start him the next week. This is a young guy. This is his first full season, and he's leading the team in minutes. It would have been really easy for him to pout, to go away, and to say, look, I've got you this far, and you have no confidence. He could have taken a million different reasons for him to take the wrong approach to this, and he wouldn't have been justified in any of them, but it would have been totally understandable why he would do that. You know what? Instead, he shut up. He never mentioned anything, worked really hard, got a chance to play because Van Dam was suspended,
right.
And turned in a good effort. And in my mind, he should totally be back to square one. Everything should be good between him and Bruce. You know, he picked up the gauntlet. He performed well. He did the hard work. He came back. He proved himself. I think you're right. AJ's the better guy. I think Starris should start against FC Dallas, but in the playoffs, AJ's the guy. But you know what? If Daniel Starris is the guy coming off the bench to protect the lead, man, you got a really good team.
Yeah, I know what you mean. So yeah, it is good. Listen, I think it was a good result, Kevin. I am happy with the result in Houston. Again, I will say it wasn't pretty at times. The heat certainly made that a factor in it not looking good to a casual fan. I'm not sure if you were a casual fan, you thought that game was particularly interesting. It wasn't. And with the shadows and everything else that was going on with television, it wasn't fun to watch. But if you're an LA Galaxy fan, you figure you needed the win. They got the win on the road. By the way, this is 20 points on the road for the LA Galaxy in 2016. Just in case you were worried about their point totals that they have gotten so far, I actually went back all the way to 2009, basically, when Bruce Arena's first full season. And if you looked at last year's road points, 12 road points in 2015, that was a bad team. 2014, when they won a cup, 21 road points. 2013, which was a bad year, 16 road points, all right? So you go back and you look at it, 20 road points actually puts them about fourth or fifth, you know, right in the middle of the pack, with some of those years where they won MLS Cups. Not saying there's any correlation there, but this team has been better on the road this year than they have in the past, and they've just been a little worse at home with all those draws.
Well, here's another thing, too. Playoffs are coming up. Charters.
Yes.
MLS allows teams to charter in the playoffs, so that'll help a little bit. Let me ask you, you keep dogging on this 1-0 game and how it wasn't an exciting game to watch. How come a 1-0 soccer game is boring, but Clayton Kershaw's 1-0 win over the Cubs, it was like the greatest baseball game ever played, and they were both played on the same day. I just don't understand how both games were 1-0, but one was the most exciting thing that ever happened, and the other one was a snooze fest.
Hey, Kevin, you can have exciting 0-0 draws in soccer. I've seen those. I've also seen the worst game ever in the history of games was a 0-0 draw with Sporting Kansas City earlier this year, and that was not exciting. So it doesn't matter really what the score is. It's more matters what the play is. The most exciting soccer game I think I ever saw was a 2-2 draw between the LA Galaxy and New York Red Bulls. Granted, they're four goals in that game, but it's a draw. Somebody was supposed to win, but on the night, both teams were outstanding, they were entertaining, and they both probably deserved to get the draw, and that's what it came to. So I know what you're saying. For the casual fan who watched that game, they probably aren't that excited about it. For LA Galaxy fans, I think they should be excited about it. It's something. I'm not saying the problems are solved, because I don't think you look at that game and go, Kevin, all these problems the LA Galaxy had are instantly solved, because they're not. But you look at this game and say momentum is what they needed. They needed the win to get the home play-in game. They have it now. They'll play that on October 26th or 27th. Don't know who their opponent is again, but it was an important step. They did something the right way this time.
Well, since you brought it up, I'm going to tell you my most boring soccer game of all time ever.
Yes.
At any level. Was a knockout round game in the 2010 World Cup between Japan and Paraguay, and it was obvious from the kickoff that both teams, for whatever reason, wanted to play the penalty kicks. And neither side even noticed that there was a goal there on the field until penalty kicks came up. So 120 minutes of sleep-inducing soccer. That was really bad. I hope your wedding's going to be more exciting than that.
It should. Well, I know it'll be shorter than that, so that's a good thing. We'll get to the dancing a lot quicker than those teams did in 120 minutes, so it shouldn't be a problem. We do have another show coming up on Thursday, or at least I have a show planned on Thursday. It'll be a short one. It will not be a live show, so I'm giving you the heads up now. That's just about 2 days before my wedding, so I will be able to run into the studio, record a show, and then quickly run out and do all the other things I'm supposed to do. Kevin, anything else you want to talk about the LA Galaxy or close on the LA Galaxy before I let you get out of here?
No, I think this postseason is going to be really interesting. This is where the Galaxy wanted to be. You know, Bruce Arena said the other day, we were talking about expectations, and their expectations are to win the MLS Cup. And I said, you must be disappointed with where the team is and all that. And he said, no, we're right where we want to be. You know where we wanted to be? In the playoffs. We wanted to have a chance to win an MLS Cup. That's exactly where they are. Talk about how they're playing and everything. That doesn't matter. They're where they wanted to be when they started the season. They're in the playoffs. And you know, you look at this team, both of us, we've seen them play fantastic games. We've seen them play games like Sundays. It makes it tough to predict, and that's what's so fun about it. I could see the Galaxy losing their play-in game, depending on who it is.
Right.
Seattle's real hot right now. I could see them losing that game. I could also see them making a deep run into the playoffs.
Yep.
It just depends on what Galaxy team shows up. But the good thing is, if you had told the team in February, you're going to be in the playoffs. You're going to have a home game to start. It's a play-in game, but you finish third. They would have taken it in a heartbeat. They're right where they want to be. Now they need to take advantage of it.
Well, it should be interesting. The LA Galaxy will play on Sunday, October 23rd. That is against FC Dallas, where every single team in Major League Soccer will be in action at 1 p.m. Pacific time. That's right. Everybody kicks off at 1 p.m. It's decision day. The game is apparently going to be nationally broadcast now, just picked up on Fox Sports 1 and Fox Deportes. So a national televised game at 1 p.m. on Sunday, October 23rd. LA Galaxy versus FC Dallas in the final game of the regular season, and then the LA Galaxy will quickly gear up to play on either October 26th or 27th for that first playoff play-in game. All right, Kevin. Follow Kevin at KBaxter11 on Twitter. Go to LA Times. Write him all the hate mail about his pro-rel story that he did for all you pro-relers out there. He loves to read all that hate mail, so please send him some more stuff on there. Kevin, thanks for stopping by, buddy. We'll talk to you later, all right?
Thank you. Congratulations on Saturday.
All right, thanks, buddy. We'll see you soon.
Bye-bye.
All right, there goes Kevin Baxter. Again, great having Kevin on. I appreciate him helping me out on this day that has been full of fun, electrical challenges, timing challenges, and everything else sort of in between. All right, that'll do it for me today. Again, we will have another show on Thursday. It might just be me. I might have roped LA Galaxy insider Adam Serrano into recording with me earlier on a Thursday, so sort of keep your eye out for that show. After Thursday, I have no shows planned. Until I get back from my honeymoon. So you guys are going to be on your own for a little bit here in the playoffs, and hopefully the LA Galaxy will still be around in the playoffs, so when I come back, we can talk some more playoff soccer. All right? I promise I won't leave you hanging for too long. All right. For Mr. Kevin Baxter from the LA Times, I'm Josh Kessman, and you've been listening to Corner of the Galaxy on cornerofthegalaxy.com. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the Corner of the Galaxy podcast on cornerofthegalaxy.com. You can follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at Galaxy Podcast, and be sure to check out and subscribe to iTunes, Stitcher, and Facebook by searching for Corner of the Galaxy. And for all of your independent LA Galaxy news, discussion, and entertainment, including this podcast, head on over to cornerofthegalaxy.com. Fans, thanks for listening. We ask that you be kind and courteous to your neighbors as you leave the podcast. We thank you for joining us and look forward to seeing you again. Until then, I'm Michael Araujo, and on behalf of the entire Corner of the Galaxy crew, goodbye, everybody.